knowing people, knowing God, knowing our enemies, knowing people. The first thing, of course, is to know God. Second thing is to know your enemy. Third thing is to know people. Even though we're all just normal people, we're not experts, we're not sociologists, we're not psychologists, but make it your business to study people. Make it your business to study people. Now, we make these studies anyhow, and we come to quick judgments. We look at somebody and say, dumb blonde. You know, so it's a... We make those kind of judgments, but study people. And pretty soon you see an awful lot of things in common, and you see a lot of distinctives, and pretty soon, if you study and record your studies, you can read people. And you say, well, I might read them wrong. Yeah, that's a possibility. Well, don't tell them what you read until you're absolutely sure. The result of this, in my life, people think I can see on their insides. They don't realize they telegraph to you who they are, what they are. Talking is one way, but sometimes people lie, so you don't necessarily... They don't want you to find out who they really are. But as you study people and are not judgmental in studying people, you didn't say, oh, well, that figures. And people realize you know them and understand them. You're got a leg up as far as being able to help the person. There are certain things, like it says, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. All temptations are common. Each person thinks he's got hit with some unique temptation. No, the devil's not that original. So if you know that certain things are common to men and women, certain things are more common to men, certain things more common to women, but then in individually helping people, and everybody's going to want help, and if you've got any love for people and any walk with the Lord, the rest of your life, people are going to be coming to you for help. I had something in mind, and then something else jumped in my mind. Well, here's an example. I was running a textbook store at a Lutheran Junior College before I came out here. I came here in 71, so right before that. I ran this textbook college store at Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I was not a Lutheran. It was a Lutheran college. And I loved people. And the students knew that. So the students would come to me. They didn't go to profs. They didn't go to the pastor. They came to me. So I was pretty well busy. Just run this textbook store. And one day, a girl came down to see me. And she said, something's wrong, and I don't know what it is. And could you help me? So I probed around with questions, but I couldn't come up with what the problem was. And I said, are you sure you don't know what the problem is? She said, well, I'm guessing it may be that I was expecting to get engaged at Christmas, and instead of getting engaged, he asked for his pin back. And he married somebody else in February. She said, I think that's my problem. I said, I don't think it is. And she looked at me, I said, you want to tell me or you want me to tell you? She said, neither. I said, okay, then you tell God. I don't need to know. I said, let's pray. And you can tell God and confess your sin. And she did. The next day, her roommate came down and said, Mr. Wilson, my roommate tells me you can help people, and they don't have to tell you what the problem is. I said, that's true. That's true. I can. And she went back to her room rejoicing. Well, there were two, the dormitories were set up with two girls in this room and two girls in this room and a common suite and a bathroom for the two rooms. So the third day, one of the suite mates came down and said, Mr. Wilson, my suite mates tell me that you can help people and they don't have to tell you what the problem is. I said, yeah, that's true. So she went back rejoicing. Well, a month went by, and the fourth one came down. Mr. Wilson, my roommates tell me that you can help people and they don't have to tell you what the problem is. I said, yeah, that's true. She said, well, I want you to know I don't have a problem. I just want to know how you do it. Oh, I said, very simple. I said, besides parents, parents are generally a problem. Besides parents, students only have three problems. She said, what are they? I said, lying, cheating, and sex. And I said, which is yours? She said, lying. I said, well, what was the lie? She said, I had a term paper and I didn't do it. And I told the prof I had done it and I'd put it on his stack of term papers on his desk and he must have mislaid it. But she said, I didn't do it. And I've told my parents I did it. I told my roommates I did it. I told everybody I've done it and I didn't do it. I told the prof he must have lost it. I said, well, that's just sin and sin's forgivable. Let's confess sin. And she did, and I said, okay, I'll give you 30 minutes to get to Professor Meyer and back here. So she called, and she says, he's not on campus anyplace. I said, okay, this is Friday. I get with him next weekend. So I didn't hear from her, but I ran into the Professor Meyer on Wednesday the following week on campus. He came up and thanked me. I said, what did you do? He said, I gave her to Friday. Okay, now, my point was here, that just observing people and knowing the scripture and knowing God and knowing the Holy Spirit, you can help an awful lot of people, and loving them, whether they're neighbors, brothers, enemies, loving them, you can help them, because well, also, when you're close to God and close to the Holy Spirit, in addition to this just knowing people and knowing God, God will guide you. And I am not charismatic, but God has led me spiritually that there's no way it could be anything else but guidance from the Holy Spirit in talking with people, things I never thought of before in my life. God will give to me, and it'll be, you know, just so right on. Now, you say, well, it's a gift. Well, sure, it's maybe a gift from God. But God gives gifts to people who are prepared to use Him and serve Him. And I'm trying to think of a... Oh, sometimes if you're so intent on studying people, you misread them. And so a lot of things, the best thing to do is relax. And I give you an instance. I was invited to speak at Goucher College, a women's college north of Baltimore, Towson, Maryland, on the subject, is Christianity credible? Which I thought was a dumb topic, but that was the assignment. So I said, Christianity doesn't have to be credible. People are credulous. They believe all kinds of incredible things. Is that right? The world is believing incredible things. But anyhow, I spoke on the subject, and after Mary Lou Wilson, no relationship, Mary Lou, who had set it up, came up and she said, there's an agnostic woman here, a college student, and you made no impression on her whatever. Well, I wasn't surprised because I thought the subject was a dumb subject. Anyhow, she said, well, we're all going over to the house for refreshments. Would you come along? I said, sure. So I went along, and she said, the woman college student's here, and would you talk to her? I said, well, you know, what for? I made no. He said, no, would you talk to her? So I went over, sat down with this woman who just bored holes through me, looking at me, just stared right through me. And the only thing I could think of was I had a strong witness of the Spirit to give my testimony to this woman. And I didn't need to. I said, God, look at her. What do I do this for? But it was so strong, I went ahead and gave my testimony. And she just drilled me, stared right through me. And I finished this testimony, and again, the Holy Spirit invited her to receive Christ. I said, God, look at her. She's an agnostic. I've made no impression on her. I'm not making any impression on her now, and you're telling me to ask her to receive the Lord. But it was so strong. I asked her to receive Christ. And she said, no. I said, God, see? I said, God, what am I missing? You give me this strong sense that this seems to be contrary to my common sense, and I'm missing something. What is it? Now this, it had to be God's answer for me. There's no other explanation for it. When I look you in the eye, you just shifted your focus from one eye to the next. When you look somebody in the eye, you blink, like you just blinked, or you shift your focus from one eye. You can't focus on two points at the same time. You focus on one eye or the other. I never thought of this in my life. And suddenly I realized that for 20 minutes she hadn't blinked and she hadn't changed her focus. And I thought it was just because she is a strong woman. Now the only way you can keep from blinking and the only way you can keep from changing focus is to be staring the other person down. I said, this woman's staring me down. You know what I mean? When I'm saying, have you ever tried to stare somebody down? See if the other guy can... you just... Okay. See if the other person breaks. This woman's staring me down. And I thought, why is she staring me down? I said, well, she's just scared. And this is how she's calling me bluff by... Now, all this going through my head real fast. I said, you know why you won't receive the Lord? She said, no, why not? I said, because you're scared silly. And her eyes rolled around her head and she broke into tears. And I felt rather superior about this time. So that was sin on my part, but nevertheless, seeing rather superior, I said, would you receive the Lord? And in her tears, she said, no. I knew she was ready. And the reason she wouldn't is because I was like calling the other side of the river, giving her an ultimatum. And people, it's just easier to say no than it is to say yes. And I realized it, confessed it to God, and I said, well, suppose I receive the Lord with you, would you receive the Lord with me? She's all right. And we did. And she went into Christian work for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship the following fall. Now, one of our problems in knowing people is we believe what they're trying to tell us. Don't believe people.
No, it's just they say they're just defending they're like on the inside they see themselves so small, they have no confidence that they use all these arguments to keep you away. So
that's
like,
right.
They often don't,
sure.
But yeah.
What bothers me is so many Christians believe them. If you can be confident that they've given you some clues. For instance, well, they give you a lot of clues, and if you learn to those, then you don't have to be in a hurry, and they'll give themselves away and call upon the Lord anyhow. And sometimes when we push them, we just keep them out of the kingdom longer. So once we know they're ready, and it's like playing a fish, you let it get tired. You don't try to fight it. Yeah, we should be confident. We should not be in a hurry. And people will respond faster if you don't push. People will say all kinds of things to keep you at a distance. And sometimes you don't barrel through those things, but just smile, relax, and a person, when they're not even close, they want to bug you about with these foolish and unknown questions. But later on, when they're very close to receiving the Lord, they'll dig out these foolish and unknown questions that they had left behind when they were spiritually hungry. When their eyes were open, they got so hungry for the Word of God, they forgot to ask you these dumb questions. Now, when the Holy Spirit's on him, they dig up these questions that they used to ask you, and they say, oh, boy, you think I've regressed. They've gone back to that. No, these are, back when he's asking these questions before, it was just for argument purposes. Now it's desperate to stay out of the kingdom a little bit longer. And so just ignore them. Oh, can I tell you a joke? This guy was a member of the AAA, the Atheist Association of America. They had a clubhouse in Manhattan, New York City, and he spent a lot of time with these fellow atheists. One day, he had to go to Philadelphia on a business trip. And while he's in Philadelphia, the businessman he has contact with invited him to a Christian Businessmen's Committee luncheon. He went to this luncheon and heard testimony, a presentation of the gospel, and he received Christ. He went back to New York City, a brand new Christian, hungry for the Word of God, but he's still a member of the club, so he'd go down to this pleasant club, and he's sitting in a chair reading a New Testament. One of his fellow atheists came up to him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm reading my Bible." He said, "What for?" He said, "Well, I believe it." He said, "Do you believe it?" "Yeah, I believe it." "Why do you believe it?" "Well, I'm a Christian." "Oh," he said, "you believe all of it?" He said, "Yeah, I believe all of it." He said, "Well, you believe all of it. Tell me this. Where did Cain get his wife?" And the Christian had no clue where Cain got his wife. So he thought for a while. He said, "I don't know. Where did he get his wife?" And the guy started giving him a bad time for not knowing. He said, "Oh, no, that's all right." He said, "When I get to heaven, I'll ask him where he got his wife." And the guy said, "Suppose he's not in heaven." He said, "Oh, well, then you ask him." Okay, so anyhow, foolish and unlearned questions avoid.
I gotta remember that one. That is perfect.
Well, we don't have to answer questions. Even if we know the answers. We talked about that yesterday. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Just don't answer. One of the things that, well, it happened one of the first days we were here. I said that you're a perfectionist, you're a perfectionist. If I pointed to you two, as the third person I mentioned, you asked me, how did I know? Well, partly is spending a lifetime studying people. I had a friend who's teaching in seminary right now, but I performed his wedding, and he was in a tuxedo, and it looked like it had been thrown at him. So I went up to this groom and adjusted as much as I could, but there's no way that some guys can wear rags and they look right on, and some guys can wear tuxes and just look like a disaster. Well, so people give themselves away. They give themselves away in how they say, what they say, regardless of the content. You can tell differences in people. And pretty soon you get a catalog of them in your head, and they're not that many different. There are all kinds of combinations. But what if I don't use this for judging people in a negative way, when people find out I know them, they're grateful, and I'm trustable. So study people, not study people to say, well, that figures, you know, but study people to understand. People like to be loved, and the more they're loved, the more they're understood, the more they open up. The less they're loved, the less they think they're understood, the more they cover. So I was really wanting to put the emphasis, spend a good percentage of your time studying the other person and assuming that you're going to make some major errors, but not near as many as if you don't study. Okay? Now, not only do you study live people, but you study people in novels. You see, one thing about a good novelist, he studied people, and he comes to all of these characters. And the Bible, you study people in the Bible. And the more understanding you get, there's another positive, the less self-centered you are. And most of us just start out self-centered. When you're studying people, you get interested in other people. And whether you're reading a Shakespeare or whether you're reading Dumas, or Hemingway, these are all people-oriented. They're great descriptions of people. Now, sometimes they're extrapolated, they're extreme characters. But nevertheless, just put them in your... Now, one of the difficulties I have, I generally do not enjoy movies. I don't go to movies. good movies, bad movies, because I can enjoy a book more, but the major reason I can see this, I can see the problems in the movie. And I can see the problems in the movie, and nobody's given this guy the gospel. And he's just getting worse and worse. I quit reading. I like Dickens, but I didn't read finish Great Expectations because I saw the kid was going to get in trouble. I quit reading David Copperfield because the kid was going to get in trouble. I spend my life with kids in trouble. I don't want to entertain myself with more people in trouble and not be able to intrude and come up with a solution. So I do read, and I like good writing, but eventually I want to get to a solution. I don't like to just entertain myself with excitement. Questions, comments?
David Copperfield gets out of trouble.
but I wasn't gonna walk through that one. The book was too big.